Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How are we doing in the presence of the Lord this morning? Praise God. Jesus is alive. Praise God. Can we shout that? Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Let every situation we are going through, every challenge we are going through, no matter the hardships, let it hear from our mouth that Jesus is alive and He is here among us this morning. Praise the Lord. It's the greatest victory proclamation we can ever make. And it doesn't come from us. It comes from the most supreme, almighty God. He is alive and He is doing His thing this morning. Praise the Lord. Because He lives, we also shall live. Because He lives, I have a hope for tomorrow. Because He lives, I can face my tomorrows no matter how hard they are. Because He lives, hallelujah, I will always be hopeful no matter the circumstances I'm going through. The power of the resurrected Lord is working in our midst this morning, people of God. How many of us are aware of it? Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank and praise God for this wonderful morning that God has given us. And I praise God for this privilege and honor that I get to stand here and address you wonderful people of God. Unworthy as I am, it's all God's grace and all glory and honor be to God. It is our privilege to be with you, me and my wife, we both are here. And thank you for all the love that you have shown in the past few days as we ministered before you by coming over, talking to us, reminding about how you were connected with my dad. And thank you for all the love and support you showed to my dad in the past days as he were here. Especially my heartfelt gratitude to Pastor Uncle and family for taking care of us from the past 3 days and has been blessing us with everything, with both spiritual nourishment and physical nourishment, and helping us with a lovely stay over at his place. We are indebted to you, Pastor Uncle and Auntie and the whole family. And this morning, my greetings to every single one of you wonderful people of God. God is in our midst. Happy Resurrection Sunday. My God is still alive. Praise God. My God is still alive. Wonderful news to be heard this morning. This morning, shall we all open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. May I read this for you as you follow along in your Bibles? But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we all close our eyes and look to the Lord in prayer? Gracious Lord, we come to your presence this morning, God. Thank you, Lord, for that resurrection, because of which we who were dead to sin became alive to you, Father Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. And as we enter this morning into your word, Master, I pray that the word be open to us, and the one who raised Jesus from the dead would quicken our own spirit and life this morning, so that we may be truly alive to you, Lord, testifying about your resurrection, both in our words and our deeds, to the glory of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been sitting in the presence of God for the past few days in fasting and prayer. And thank God for the lovely choir and the way in which we could sing and worship our God. For the past few days, as we were seated in the presence of God, we began with this thought that fasting prayer is an experience, is a moment, it's a season of things moving out and things moving in. Things that are not in the will of God be moved away from our life, and things that are in the will of God to be moving into our life. Both need to happen as we sit in the season of fasting and prayer in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And as we continue in that attitude of fasting and prayer this morning, what will be our prayer and desire before God? God, do that moving act in me so that I may truly become like you, conformed to the image of the Son of God. Praise the Lord. The resurrected Lord desires that we see, we become and be seen like our resurrected Lord. Amen. Praise God. Can we believe that? Can we take that in our heart? The resurrected Lord desires that the people who believe in him and are redeemed by him become like our resurrected Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And this morning we're going to think about that resurrection, what it holds, and to what it invites us this morning. And the title of today's thought and sermon is Made Alive with the Resurrected Lord. Made alive, or being made alive with the resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. As we read over here, in verse 13 onwards, Paul begins to demonstrate before the people the picture of the Lord they are worshiping. Yesterday evening, we looked into 1 Corinthians, and over there, a church plagued with different kind of problems. Paul begins to address them by raising before them a picture of the Lord, and it was the picture of the crucified Lord. And he welcomed the whole church to conform to that image. And now as he begins his second epistle to the same Corinthian church, at the outset he draws a picture of the same Lord, but a different one. It is a picture of the resurrected Lord who was crucified for us. And the invitation is we become like him and conform to his image. Praise the Lord. I become dead like the crucified Lord. I become alive like the resurrected Lord. That is our call. And in every sense, we become like Christ. And over here, being made alive in the resurrected Lord, or with the resurrected Lord, what is resurrection all about? In a simple sense, resurrection is a demonstration of God's power over everything in this world. In the Gospels, we read about how Satan entered Judas and then made him betray the Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual force at work to keep our Lord and his work at bay, away from the plans of God, away from the purposes of God, hidden within the walls of a tomb, buried deep in darkness.
It's the spiritual force at work. And then in Matthew chapter 27, 65 onwards, we read about how the Jews, the religious mob, the religious crowd conspired and went along and asked Pilate that the tomb in which the Lord is buried be sealed off and guarded so that in no way he can ever come out and the plan of God be unfolded before the people. It is the spiritual force at work, it is the religious force at work, and it is the imperial political forces at work against the will and plan of our God and of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. These are the forces at work, not only against him, people of God, but also against me and you. We are fighting the battles on all these fronts every day, on the spiritual front, on the religious front, on the imperial political front, every day, every hour, we are fighting the battles. The very warfare that was against the Lord is against the Lord's people as well. And humankind succumb to all these powers that work against them. These powers came again together against the Lord, thinking here is one more man walking by and we can do away with him like we did away with the entirety of humanity right from the Garden of Eden. They came together, the spiritual force, the religious force, the political forces, looking at Jesus. They thought, here is one more man looking just like another human. We can do away with him. He speaks good. He does miracles. But that would be the end of him. We will be done with him once and for all. The powers coming together, conspiring to thwart the plan of God. But then resurrection is a story of a grand failure of this conspiracy. It is a grand failure of this evil allegiance. When everyone thought that it was the end of the story for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, buried and done away in the tomb, when devil thought it is it, when the political forces, they thought it is it, when the religious forces thought that it is it, it was on the third day, just as he said, predicted by the scriptures, according to the will of God and power of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God comes out of the grave, declaring once and for all, it is not in the forces of evil. It is not in the forces of religion. It is not in the forces of anything political. But it is in the will of God that the world will be determined and the fate of humanity will be destined once and for all. Praise God. What decided it? It is not the things around. What decided our future, our destiny? It is not the things that we are associated with. It was one God who raised one Lord to be God and Lord over all, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Resurrection is the demonstration of God's power. Amen. Hallelujah. While we are being made alive with our resurrected Lord, let us become aware of the power that is working in us. Let us become aware of the power that is for us when we are fighting the battles against us. Hallelujah. In a world today, you might have heard of the news that came yesterday evening. I don't want to go into the details of it, but yet another systematic attempt to systematically remove Christianity and Christian talks and Christ entirely from the picture of USA. And in that moment, we too are confronted by the same forces that were at work against our Lord. In a moment where things are tried and attempted to be driven away, that this Jesus would be in the tomb, even in the 21st century, the resurrection day says, not so, not so. While the kings of this world can come together and conspire, There is one seated on the throne who dictates his will and resurrects his Holy One, and he makes him alive to be the Lord forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when we hear these things and we are confronted and challenged on all these fronts, know that our battles are fought on all these fronts. It is not just spiritual. It is social, it's religious, it's political. When we understand it, let us also bring to our mind that there is a greater power working for us, in us, against these forces that are battling against us. And therefore we can sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise the Lord. My tomorrow is full of challenges. My tomorrow is full of questions, but I can face it because the resurrected Lord's power is working in me. So what kind of a living is resurrected living? It is a powerful living. Amen. People of God, ones who are here because of the resurrected Lord, you and I, what kind of a life are we living in this tormented, dark world, persecuted on all sides, questioned and challenged? Let me tell you, amidst the darkness we are in, there is a power that confronts us. It is not against us, it is for us, and it is working through us. It is a powerful existence in the life of the resurrected Lord. Praise God. While I am being made alive in the resurrected Lord, I am being made powerful to face the challenges that are at work against me. Praise be to our resurrected Lord. Praise God. Now here is the second thought that brings the second idea of what it is to be made alive in the resurrected Lord. One, the power of resurrection. But here it is, Paul talking about another phase of resurrection. You see, in the power of resurrection, when we read 16 onwards, it says that the power that raised Jesus is the very power that is working in us, reviving and making us alive. So who are we? We are a resurrected body of the resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. The resurrected body of Christ, of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. We are one body being made alive to him, one by one. We are being revived in him. Now, as that power of resurrection is reflected and at work in us, here is the second reality of resurrection that confronts us. There is a power of resurrection, but there is also a cost of resurrection. The cost of resurrection. And it is what we read over here in verse 8 onwards in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we are alive, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. Praise the Lord. Resurrection came after suffering and cross. Came after the death on the cross. Praise the Lord. And as we continue to experience the power of resurrection within us, it is inviting us to also bear upon us the life of the crucified Lord as we conform to the resurrected Lord. Praise the Lord. That is what we heard yesterday. There would be suffering in our life as we live a resurrected life. We will be challenged. Now here is something even more deep to understand over here. You see, in the previous verses, as we look about, he says there is a gospel that we are preaching in the beginning verses of chapter 4. He talks about the gospel that Paul is preaching to them. And here is an interesting thing that we need to know. You see, in the first century, today we understand, and when we hear gospel, it's all good news. When we hear gospel, it is the best news. Our God is alive. It is a spiritual thing. And so it is. And so it is. It's all good. But in the first century, it had a whole different meaning. Gospel, the English word comes from the Greek word euangelion. And out of the 117 times it is used in the New Testament, Paul uses it almost 77 times in his letters. More than two-thirds of the times it is seen in his letters, the gospel, and that is how he begins the greatest letter he has ever written, letter to the Romans, the gospel he wants to preach. But what is euangelion? You see, in the first century, before being associated with Christianity, it was a political terminology. It had nothing to do with religion. It had nothing to do with Jesus. It had nothing to do with anything religious. It was a political term exclusively associated with the rise and enthronement of a king named Caesar. That when the king, when Caesar would come into a distant land, and it would not be all the time, it would be once in a while within the vastness of the empire, that this emperor so majestic, so austere, he would come in all his pomp and glory. And before his coming, there would be heralds, the good news spreaders, the evangelists, who were called to go and spread the good news. What is the good news? What is the euangelion? That Caesar the king is coming to the town. That is the way euangelion began as a word in the Roman context. And it was associated with Caesar and Caesar's power and his exclusive might over the vastness of Roman Empire, including all humans. And then somewhere in the distant land of Israel, a group of people who have heard this news of Caesar coming and the euangelion began to say, we have a different euangelion, a different good news, a different gospel for a different king that is coming. Praise the Lord. And they started calling the resurrected Lord coming in power to establish his kingdom, the news which is good to spread as the euangelion for all humanity. And as they began to say it, it was not a comfortable speech because they were challenging the most powerful man in the world at that time, namely Caesar. Gospel was not a gospel of comfort. The name itself cost them their lives. It was a costly gospel that they were preaching. A different king coming to the Roman Empire. A different king coming to visit his humans. A different king coming to visit his people. Euangelion had a price to pay. So when they go out preaching, they carry the death of Jesus on their bodies. That then when they begin to preach about the resurrected Lord, there is always the chance that they would also go through the same death that the resurrected Lord went through, because there is a counter gospel evangelion being spread by these first century believers. Praise the Lord. So when you read gospel, you see the blood of the first century saints over there. When you read gospel, you see the cost that they bore to preach about the resurrected Lord. And Paul says, I always carry in my body the death of Jesus. No wonder he did that. He is the one who spoke about the euangelion the most times in the entirety of New Testament. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The cost of resurrection is this. When the good news is our Lord is risen and the King is alive, it is challenging all the other powers around, and they are not for us, they are against us. Hallelujah. Are we willing to go through the cost of resurrection to experience the power of resurrection in us? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Christian life is powerful existence. Christian life is a costly existence. Praise God. And the world and us, when we are not able to pay that price, the only thing then remaining is to conform with the world, which is the easy way out. But the resurrected life is not a life of conformity. It is a life of cost, countercultural, and calling the world to come and kneel before the resurrected King who is now coming to establish his throne before all. Praise God. Not Caesar, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Not any kings of this world, but the King of Kings, our Lord, is alive. Amen. Hallelujah. When the power works, I am also called to be aware of the cost to which it calls me. Praise God. Now, but that's not the only thing. The power of resurrection, the cost of resurrection. You see, in the power of resurrection, we saw how resurrection is the result of divine intervention. It's the result of divine hand coming and doing and exercising its will among us. Resurrection is the result of God's intervention. And then we talked about the cost of resurrection. And now I want to talk about the call of resurrection on all of us. There is a power in the resurrection existence. There is a cost in the resurrection existence. And there is a call in the resurrection existence to which we are all invited and called to be. Hallelujah. And over there, Paul says, what is he doing? He is carrying the resurrected life and the death of Christ both in himself and going about and doing what? He is preaching the gospel to all. He is evangelizing for the glory of God. Hallelujah. What is the call of resurrection? It is missional to carry the glory of the resurrected Lord into the dark world that are still under Caesar's rule. They need to hear that a new king has come and a new kingdom is ushering among us. Praise the Lord. The one who has understood the power of resurrection, the one who has understood the cost of resurrection, can never shun themselves from the call of resurrection, which is to go about and spread this life to everyone. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where did it begin? It began in Christ. That's why mission is called the mission of God. It is not any church's mission. It is not any organization's mission. But the very act of humanity reconciling back to God and becoming one with Him was initiated, sustained, and then given to us by the Lord of the mission. And that is what to which we are called to participate. Hallelujah. The resurrection is working in us so that we can become the agents of God's resurrecting power in a dead world. Resurrection, the result of divine intervention. Resurrection, the agency of divine intervention. It works in us so that we go out and become the life givers to the world. As I conclude my words over here, people of God, we won't truly conform to the image of the crucified Lord and the resurrected Lord if we don't hear the call of the resurrected Lord today. He calls us to be disciples, not to remain in the pews,
but to go out into the world. There is a dying world under the hands of many Caesars. Let the true King come and spread his life through us. He is giving us life to give them life. The life was in Christ, it came on us, and now the life in us needs to spread around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This very Paul, who understood this heart of God, begins to talk about the work of God in the very next chapter and says God is reconciling the world to himself. That we who were away should become one with God. And this resurrection now calls us, and he says, who are we? We who have experienced the resurrection of the resurrected Lord are now God's co-workers. Hallelujah. We are working with God in the work that he is doing. He is reconciling the world to himself, and he is calling us to participate and partake with him. How many of us will hear his call this morning? People of God, our God is alive, but there is a world dead outside. They need to hear this evangelion. The King has come. The life is here. They don't need to dwell in darkness. They don't need to dwell in deadness. The tomb is open forever. Where is the resurrected power, people of God? It's in me. It's in you. And it's calling us to bring the whole world to himself. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Do not go from here without responding to the call of resurrection this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we all close our eyes this morning? We are being made alive with the resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the power of resurrection work in us this morning. If there is anything that needs to be made alive, you put it before him. His resurrecting power is working in us this morning. People of God, how many of us can feel the presence of the resurrected Lord this morning in our midst? Can we praise our God for the resurrected life to which he has called us? Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the power of resurrection in us. Thank you, Lord, for the cost with which it had called us for the Lord. But you paid the price for us. Now help us pay the price for the Lord as we bear the cross with you, Master Lord. And help us to respond to the call of resurrection to invite others, Master, into this life. I commit this church and all of us into your hands, Lord. Resurrected Lord, may your will be here. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen. All glory be to God. Thank you for giving me a hearing.